Don't underestimate you. Could get calories just from working.
Okay. So we are up to Shmuel Aleph. You coming? You want to get something? Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Zayin, chapter 27. And last week, let me see if there's a movie. Yeah. So last week we had this episode where once again David catches Shaul off guard. Just as when they were in the cave, he was able, you know, he could have killed Shaul and he didn't, and he cut off Shaul, the corner of Shaul's garment, and then he came to Shaul and said, "Look, I could have killed you." And Shaul said, "Okay, I won't fight, I won't attack you anymore." But then Shaul obviously changed his mind and was coming after David again, and this time David was able to sneak into Shaul's camp, walk right up to Shaul, and take a spear that was in the ground next to him, as well as his water, and take it out, and then call across, you know, once he was far enough, and say, "Hey, you know, attention, you guys didn't do a good job of guarding Shaul. I walked right in, and I could have killed him." And he says again, you know, I mean no harm to Shaul. And Shaul is just chasing I'm like a bug compared to him, and he shouldn't chase me, and he shouldn't be concerned about me. And again, Shaul accepts David's claims, and he even ends off the parak by giving David a bracha in the very last verse of 26, Pasuk Chaf Hei of Parak Chaf Vav. He says, "Baruch Atah B'ni David," you know, "blessed are you, my son David. You're going to accomplish great things. You're going to go places." And they separate. So it would seem, you would think, that this is it. Shaul is finished chasing David. David can now feel safe. You'll remember also that David had expressed, he said, "You know, why are your people telling me to go serve Avodah Zarah?" Right? You remember from Pasuk Yud Tes, verse 19. He said, "If it's people that are whispering in your ear that I'm after you, they are expelling me from dwelling in the inheritance of God in Israel, saying, go serve other idols." And that seemed to come out of nowhere. What does he mean, they're saying, go serve other idols? But as we explained, as Chazal explained, because he was going to be forced to leave Eretz Yisrael and to live among the Goyim. And that, in a way, maybe just the living itself is could be tantamount to serving Avodah Zarah, but certainly the influence of being around idolaters could possibly influence him to join them in their idolatrous ways. We got through the whole chapter. We got to the end of the chapter. So that's where we pick up. With all of that, now we could begin Chav Zayin, and we'll see that it seems to take another interesting twist. Vayomer David, verse 1 of chapter 27. Vayomer David Alibo. And David said to his heart, he said in his heart, "Ata esafe yom echad biyad Shaul." At this point, I can be consumed by Shaul any day. It could just be a matter of moments, and I could be consumed by Shaul. He no longer trusted Shaul, you know, even though he had pulled all these plans, these strategies, and tried to show Shaul that he had no ill intent against him. But still, he did it once with the cave, and Shaul still chased him. And even now, he wasn't confident that David would not chase him, that Shaul wouldn't chase him. So he says, "Ein li tov ki himalet himalet al eretz plishtim. The only option I have is to run away to the land of the plishtim. V'noash mimeni Shaul levaksheni od bechol gevul Yisrael, and Shaul will give up from seeking me out in the borders of Israel. V'nimlatati miyado, and then I'll have escaped from his hand. If I really want to get away from Shaul, my only option is to leave Eretz Yisrael and to run to the land of the Plishtim." The Malbim has a number of important ideas here. He says part of David's calculation was he understood that up till now his salvation against Shaul had come miraculously. Miracle upon miracle. You know, we had earlier where Shaul was about to catch him and then Shaul got pulled away to fight, I think, against Plishtim. We had in the last chapter where again Shaul is approaching David and then he falls asleep, his whole camp falls asleep, and David is able to enter the camp. So he says, not every day will a miracle occur for me. And not only that, but once you have one miracle done for you, so you lose some merit, you lose some of your zechuyos. And who says that it's going to happen again? And David was concerned, maybe his merits had expired, had run out. So he said, my only choice is to run away. And there were three reasons why he thought that it was a good idea to run away. He said, first of all, if I remain in Israel, remaining in the land of Israel, then Shaul will continue to suspect that I plan to rebel against him. I'm gathering men. I'm mounting a rebellion. But not so if he's in Eretz Plishtim. So that's Shaul will be Noah. He'll give up for me. He won't be worried about me. Secondly, he won't be able to find me, and that will also cause him to give up. If I hide in a good enough place, he'll give up, and he won't be, and then he won't look for me anymore. And not only that, but I'll have the protection of the Plishtim. As we'll see, he manages to curry favor with the king of the Plishtim, and so he has added protection. So for all these reasons, he's no longer. This is his best strategy. His best option of getting away from Shaul is to leave to the land of Plishtim. Okay, Pasuk Beis. Vayakam David, and David got up. Vayavor hu v'sheish meos ish asher ho el achish ben ma'och melech gas. And David got up, and he and 600 men with him got up and went to Achish, the son of Ma'och, the king of Gus. Now, this may seem familiar. Do we remember David running away to Achish previously? Right? We do. So that was a little while back. That was right when he was running away from Nov. And at that point, he was brought before Achish, and his life was in danger. And we remember what he did. He feigned madness, right? And that's how, you know, he escaped. They said, "Oh, Achish said this can't be this great general David. This guy's crazy, right?" And he sent him out. So here he goes again, and he is seeking refuge with Achish, the king of Gus. Now, how come, the Mefarshim wonder, why does he think that this time it's going to work out better? Obviously, last time his life was in danger. How come he's going back again to the same place? Why does he think that it will be better this time? So a number of Mefarshim speak about this, and they say, the Malbim, tell you what the Malbim says. He says, first of all, the first time he came, he was alone. And he was suspected as a spy. He's coming alone. is coming to spy. And that's first of all. Second of all, he didn't have anything to offer them. There was no benefit of accepting him. So for those two reasons, he wasn't going to be safe. First of all, they may have thought he was a spy, and second of all, they had no benefit from him. As opposed to this time, says the Malbim, here he has 600 men. Obviously, he's not coming to spy. And secondly, as we'll see, and Achish was hopeful that these men would join him, would help in his battles, specifically against Israel, and that was another reason. That was why Achish was willing to accept him. That was out of suspicion or out of the hope that he would join him. Not only that, but we see in the next pasuk Gimel, Vayeshev David im Achish Begas, and David dwelled in Achish in the city of Gas. Who va'anashav? He and his men, Ishu Beso, each man and his household. Each man and his household. David ushtei nashav, and David and his two wives. Which two wives? Achinoam ha'Yisraelis v'Abigail Eshes Navel ha'Karmelis. Achinoam and Abigail, who had previously been the wife of Navel, these were the two women that he married at the end of chapter 25. So the Malbim adds, secondly, he came with his family, and everybody came with their families. So they were less, suspicious. And there was no suspicion that they might run away or, try to commit some kind of subterfuge. They were here with their families. They were here to stay, to settle, to join the community. And this time, it was safer for David to come.
More and different people from the ones that he had before?
I don't think so. I think it's the same group. Yeah, but we had seen that they had changed their ways. So there is one commentary, the Kliyakar. It's a different Kliyakar than on Chumash, the Kliyakar on Navi. Who suggests possibly that this was a different Achish. It's different. I don't know why that would help so much, but this time it says Achish ben Ma'och, and the last time it didn't say Achish ben Ma'och. I have to see exactly how he wants to explain it, because in both instances it's the king of Gus, I think, so I'm not sure why, just because one place it says his father's name and one place it doesn't. And, after such a short passage of time, we're not talking about, much time has passed. So I'm not sure how to understand that. But most of the commentaries assume it's the same one, and they explain the differences between the first time around and this time, why David felt more safe this time. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Vayeshev David im... Sorry, we did that one. Pasuk Dalet. Vayugad l'Shaul kivarach David Gas. And Shaul was told that David had ran away to Gas, v'lo Yosaf ovd l'vaksho. And he no longer sought to find him. He no longer continued to seek him out. So indeed, David's plan worked, and Shaul stopped hunting after him. He was in a foreign land. He was, wasn't going to be able to find him. He probably wasn't rebelling, and so he stopped the hunt for David. Now there is a kriuk siv. You'll notice it's written with a vav and pronounced without the vav as Yosef, but it's written Yosef or Yusaf. So it could be that it can also be read, if you read it with the kri with the vav, that it's talking about David. That Shaul was told that David had run to Gas, Vilgo Yosef od Levaksho, and that David would no longer seek out Shaul. Because you'll remember, part of, as the Midrashim point, tell us, part of what's causing Shaul to keep hunting after David is people whispering in his ear, right? Especially Avner, the Medrash specifically singles out. And also Doeg. But these people are telling Shaul bad things, and they're telling Shaul bad things about David, and after David spares Shaul's life, so Avner whispers in his ear, oh, he didn't really spare your life, he had no choice, he's not your friend. But now they're no longer whispering that. They're telling Shaul, David has run away to Gath, v'lo Yosef od levaksho, and he's not going to continue to seek him out. Could be read that way. I don't think so. He has his intelligence network. The Mossad. Okay. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Vayomer David al Achish. So now David is talking to the king Achish. Imna matzasi chen be'einecha, yitnu li makom be'achas arei hasadeh ve'eish vasham. If I find favor in your eyes, give me a place in one of the cities out in the field, and I will dwell there. Ve'lama yeshiv avdecha be'ir hamamlacha imach. Why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? So it seems David has been here for a short while. We'll see, the pasuk will actually give us the timeline. I think according to Magen Farshim it's only 2 days, as we'll see. David was there for 2 days, and then he said, you know, Achish, thanks for the hospitality, but I don't want to trouble you to stay in the middle of the center of town, in the royal district. Why don't you find me a place, a city in the field, and I'll dwell there? Why do I need to be in the royal district? Now, we'll see why David was asking this shortly. But first, let's understand what exactly he's saying to Achish. So first of all, he's asking for Arei Hasadeh, cities of the field. What does that mean? It means an open city, as opposed to a protected city. He's not asking for a fort, you know, because that's not going to sound good to Achish, you know. Why don't you give me a fortified city, right? That's not in Achish's interest. Right, that's going to get him suspicious. So he's saying, I don't need a fortified city. Can you just give me a city out in the field? We'll see, again, as I mentioned, we'll see that what David hopes, though, for is he needs some privacy. He needs to be able to act without Achish knowing everything that he's doing. So that's why he wants his own place. He wants to move out of the house so that so that Achish doesn't know what he's doing. Now, he says, why should I dwell in the royal district? So he's saying it's not good for you for me to be here. Well, it's better for you if I leave. Why is it better? So the Mitzvah David suggests that it's a burden for, you know, David and his whole, you know, 600 families to be there. There's that. It's driving up food prices. It's there's more demand. There's not as much food to go around. So he says, I'll take care of myself. I don't need, you know. Why don't you? I just go to a different city. Additionally, the Malbim says, why does he have to ask Achish for this? I mean, I guess he wants property, but why was the Malbim says that Achish perhaps wanted David close, right? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So he wanted David close to keep an eye. Achish had his own army there. He could kind of keep an eye on David if David was local. So David's telling him, you know, if I find favor in your eyes, don't suspect me, don't worry about me. Give me my own place, and everything will be fine. And you don't have to give me a fortified city. Don't worry. Just give me a city, you know, a city out in the field. Okay. So the pasuk says, pasuk vav, vayiten lo Achish b'yom ahu es Tziklag, and Achish gave David on that day the city of Tziklag, lachein, and therefore haisa Tziklag l'malcha Yehuda ad hayom hazeh. Tziklag remained in the hands of the kings of Judah ad hayom hazeh, until the day that this Navi is being written. So interestingly, right, we know the Gemara says that Shmuel HaNavi wrote Sefer Shmuel. Now Shmuel HaNavi is dead at this point, but he could have written it with Nebuah. Although it's interesting because the next chapter Shmuel HaNavi dies again, so we'll have to work that out, why it says that he died twice, but seemingly at this point Shmuel HaNavi is dead. The Abarbanel actually says that Shmuel HaNavi wrote Sefer Shmuel, wrote many pieces, but he actually says when it says Ad Hayom Hazeh, it wasn't Shmuel HaNavi writing that. It was, he says, the Mechaber, the writer, the author that gathered the words of Shmuel and the words of Nasan HaNavi. So I think after Shmuel's death, Nasan HaNavi takes over in writing. And he says, who was that? Who put together, say, for, you know, the writings of these two prophets? He says that he thinks it was Yirmiyahu HaNavi, as he writes in his introduction. Yirmiyahu HaNavi took the writings of Shmuel HaNavi and of Nasan HaNavi and put them together to make Sefer Shmuel. But the Malbim says, when it says Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this day, it means until the days of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, many hundreds of years later. About probably 400 and or so years later. Yeah.
An interesting question is that kings of Judah, because either, you know, it didn't become known as Judah until there's a tribe of Judah. Wasn't the whole area, including the area of the Plishtim, part of the promised area? Yeah, up to that one of the tribes
In Sefer Malachim, there's going to be a split, right? And there's going to be Israel, you know, the 10 tribes and the tribe of Yehuda. So this, I guess, is part of the kingdom of Yehuda. Whose portion is it now? I'm not sure. It is, the Mefarshim do write, they do talk about that in the book of Yoshua, we see that the Jewish people conquered this city, and it was actually a Jewish city at first. So they say it must be that after that the Plishtim took it back, and now it's being given to David, and it's going to remain a Jewish city, and Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now, Mr. Sapper mentioned before that in the news this week, they believe, there are some archaeologists that believe that they have uncovered the city of Tziklag just this week, hot off the press. They found in an excavation, basically, that evidence of, they needed to find three layers, basically, because they found a layer, I guess the deepest layer, indicating that it was a Plishti city. And then they found higher up, they found indications that it was a Jewish city. And then they also found evidence that it was destroyed in a fire, which we're going to see, as we get, not in this chapter, but later, David is going to get news that the city of Ziklag was raided by the Amalekim and destroyed. So they found all this. Now, it's obviously a debate. Other archaeologists are saying, no, it's not in the right spot. So somewhere in, I don't know exactly where, but yeah. Somewhere around where it's supposed to be, but not
territory.
Yeah.
I seem to have missed it, though.
So hot off the press, in the news this week. It's cool, actually. You could see they have pictures of all the pottery that they found there, and they put it, they like a puzzle. They have like 100 or so of these
shards.
They took all the shards, and you could see like 100 jugs of different sizes and shapes, and they're all put together like puzzles. It's unbelievable. I don't know what they use, but could be. You have to be a master puzzle, puzzle master to put those together. So, what? To put all the pieces of pottery together to make the pots again that they found.
Well, comparatively to the mosaic and Tzipora, they have size.
Oh, yeah, like the mosaics, right. Those are easy. Right. Okay. So what happens? Let's see. Pasuk Zion. Verse 7. Vayhi mispar hayamim asher yashav David b'stei plishtim. Yamim ve'arba chadashim. And the days that David dwelled in the fields of the Plishtim were days and 4 months. Days and 4 months. So what does that mean? What does it mean, days and 4 months? So the, we're on verse 7. So most Mefarshim say that we know, Chazal say, that Shaul was only king for 2 years. So Yamim, which means days, but it's often translated as years, 2 years. The easiest translation of this pasuk would be 2 years and 4 months, that David dwelled there for 2 years and 4 months. The problem is that Shaul was only king for 2 years, so it can't be that David was here now for 2 years and 4 months. So therefore, most Mefarshim say that Yamim here just means days. It means 2 days and 4 months. Some say, I think, that the 2 days were in... he spent 2 days in the city and the 4 months in the fields. This is what most commentaries say. The Abarbanel takes on this assumption that Shaul was only king for 2 years. Even though Chazal say it, the Abarbanel argues, and he says that, and he says, apparently he talks about it elsewhere, I didn't see it, where he really discusses it, but he says, I already told you that I think Shaul was king for longer than 2 years, and he translates this as 2 years and 4 months that David was there for 2 years and 4 months, and he says that, look at the Targum Yonasan, Ben Uziel, translates this as Idan be'idan ve'arba yarchin, which really means a time and 4 months, but he understands that that means a year and 4 months. And he says, so you see, Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, who was also a Tana, right, that's Chazal, I have my own Chazal to back me up, that the Targum Yonasan says that David was here for 2 years and 4 months, and therefore, obviously, Shaul was king for longer than 2 years.
In a biblical format, would they ever have said Goliath and the pearl for the days and then
the months? So I think that's why there are those who say that the days refer to the days he spent in the city, and that's why it said first, because it's referring to what he did first was 2 days and then 4 months in the village. So, okay, that's a machlokes between the Abarbanel and most other Mefarshim. How long was David actually here for? Was it just 4 months, 2 days and 4 months, or was it 2 years and 4 months? Pasuk Ches. Vayal David va'anashav, vayifshitu el ha-gishuri, v'ha-gizri, v'ha-amaleki. And David went up, him and his men, and Rashi learns it means he would go up. He would do this frequently. He would go out on raids, and he would spread out to these different tribes, the Geshuri and the Gizri and the Amaleki, Kihena Yoshvos Haaretz Asher Me'olam, because they had been dwelling there forever, for a long time. And therefore, say the Mefarshim, what the Pasuk is telling you, they'd had their guard down. They were not expecting any attacks. They were living there very comfortably, and then they would get raided by David. Boach Ashura bad Eretz Mitzrayim, from Shura down to Egypt. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Vehika David es haaretz, and David would strike the land. Vehika David es haaretz, velo yichaya ish veisha, and he wouldn't leave a man or a woman alive. And he would take their flocks and their cattle and their donkeys and their camels and their clothes. And he would return to Achish. Now, a couple of things. So first of all, we have to see why David is doing this. Why is David doing this? So there are those who say that he just needed food. Doesn't fully explain why he's killing everyone, but we can... We'll see shortly why, you know, perhaps why he's killing people.
They will report to the king, and he realize that he doesn't fight in Israel.
Right, so we'll see. So, let's see a few more psukim, and then we'll try to put together a couple of explanations. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Vayomer Achish. And Achish said, Al pshat temayom. Most commentaries learn this means where did you go today? Vayomer David, and David said, Al Negev Yehuda. I went to the south of Yehuda. Ve'al Negev ha'yir yarchemeli. Ve'al Negev ha'keni. All these southern places, that's where I went, and that's who I attacked. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. The ish veisha lo yichaya David lahavi gas lemar, and David did not leave any man or woman alive that would be able to come to Gas saying, "What happened?" Pen yagido aleinu lemar, lest they say, "What happened?" And they say, "Kolasa David v'chomish bato." This is what David did, and this should be his judgment. Kol ayam asher yashav b'stei plishtim, all the days that he dwelt in plishtim. This is what was constantly happening. So what was David doing? So one understanding is, well, the basic outline of what he was doing before we get to who he was fighting is, according to many Mefarshim, we'll talk about another way to learn it also, is that he was attacking Canaanite nations. Right? The Malbim says there's a mitzvah to kill out all the Canaanite nations. When they conquered the land of Israel, they were supposed to do this. Lo sechaya kol neshama. They weren't allowed to leave anyone alive. They did. It caused major problems for them. So here he was, attacking these various Canaanite nations. Now, in order that Achish not find out what he was doing, so he would raid, he would not leave anyone alive to report what had happened. Now, he anyways had to kill them if he was doing it for the mitzvah, but he would not leave anyone alive. And then he would tell Achish that he was raiding, you know, the south of Judah and the Yerachmeeli and the Cani and other nations, and that he was basically attacking Israel. And this way, what? Yeah, killed everyone. And this way he would cover it up, and not only that, but he would gain favor in Achish's eyes. That Achish thought he was, you know, he was rebelling and fighting against Israel, and Achish was very happy with this. What? No, because he would tell him. That he went, when in Pasuk Yod, when Achish says, "Where did you go today?" He would say, "Al Negev Yehuda, the Al Negev Ayachmin." He would say, "I went to a different place, and that's who I was raiding. And look what I brought back, you know." And he would pretend he didn't leave anyone alive to report what had actually happened, and he said that I was fighting Israel. Right. Yeah.
Which of the seven were the Gezerim? The Malachi, I understand they have other issues.
Right.
And I remember the Gezerim.
Yeah. Right. These may have been like sub tribes. Clans, yeah. Yeah, so that's how the Malbim learns that they were Shiva Am, that they were from the seven nations, and he was covering it up by telling Achish that he was attacking Jews. And look in Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, by Yaming Achish b'David Lamor, and Achish believed David, he trusted David, saying, Have Shivish Bama b'Yisrael, turned against and attacked against the land of Israel, his nation Israel. Eved Olam, and he's a slave for me forever. He was really happy with this guy David, what David was doing. So that's the main approach in the Mefarshim. The Abarbanel has a different approach here. The Abarbanel says. Barbanel mounts a whole bunch of, you know, just very practical questions. He quotes the other opinion that it was that David would raid them and he wouldn't leave anyone alive so that nobody would find out. He calls it Zar Etzli. He says it's strange to me, this interpretation. He says, first of all, it's a major rebellion against his host, you know, against Achish, who he had done a chesed for him. Achish had done a chesed for him, and he's mishalim ra tachas tova. He's doing evil by him instead of appreciating what he had done for him. That's first of all. He says, secondly, if he did it, according to this explanation, they were his cousins. They were people that he got along well with. That's why he had to cover it up, right? He says, also, if it was true that he did this many times, so how could it be that he killed everyone? And I guess, and nobody ever found out. It's like, it's impossible that Achish and his men would not find, you know, the destruction. If these are towns nearby, then they're gonna find out about it, you know? When market day comes and they don't bring their wares, so they're gonna go find out what happened to Uncle Jim and realize that he was killed by David. This is going to be found out if it's really a subterfuge and he's killing the people around.
competing clans.
Oh, okay. So that's not what these Mefarshim are saying. These Mefarshim are saying that he had to cover it up, right? So you're right. That's the direction that Abarbanel is going to take. Right? They must have discovered it. They must have wanted to investigate who it was, and especially since it was happening a lot, the pasuk says. So says the Abarbanel that I think Hanira Eli is that these nations were hated by Achish. These were Achish's enemies. And that's why David was raiding them and looting them. And it was not a rebellion against Achish, and it was and Achish was happy. And he says Haraya is a proof. It doesn't say that David attacked Plishtim, it says other nations he attacked. He says also later, as I mentioned, the Tiklag is going to be destroyed by the Amaleki. So the way that David finds out that Tiklag was destroyed by the Amalekites is going to be in chapter Lamed, in Perek Lamed, in chapter 30. There's going to be this young Amalekite convert, basically, who comes to report to David what happened. And in his report, he says that the Amalekites attacked the Kresi. And the Kresi are the friends of the Plishtim, the Abarbanel says. So it must be that the Amalekites are enemies of the Plishtim. So David's attacking enemies of the Plishtim. And that's why this is a good thing, and he's not rebelling against Achish. He's doing Achish's will. And that's why Achish likes him.
Maybe I should have to worry about the special law of paying workers.
So
obligate me to not for it paid anyway. So this is as far as it does come up in the post. There are certain cases of suffering where postkin do say that the worker should be paid, even though the employer is booked. We generally don't say this. We generally say, even in the laws of Poland, though, that if there is a legitimate suffering, then the employer still has the right to withhold the money, despite the fact that in a situation...
Right. Now, there is a little bit of a subterfuge going on still, the Abarbanel says. Because when it says that when Achish would ask him where he attacked, so he would also mention Negev Yehuda, right? The Jews. So he still wanted Achish to think that he was also attacking the Jews, even though he wasn't. And because of that, he didn't want to leave anyone alive who could report. Basically, the Malbim is bothered because in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, David will not leave anyone alive. Why? Pen Yagidu Aleinu Lemor. Lest they tell what David did, right? Now, what's wrong, according to the Abarbanel, that David is doing the will of Achish and killing Achish's enemies, then why is it a problem if they tell what David's doing? That's fine. He's doing the will of Achish. So the Abarbanel says, what you have to say is that there was still some subterfuge going on, because David was also attacking, he was claiming that he was attacking Jewish land also, just to gain favor in Achish's eyes. And that was not true. And that's why he didn't want anyone to come and report, because that would ruin his strategy. That would blow his cover when he was trying to make himself look good and look like he was rebelling against the Jews, when in fact he was not doing that.
Let him think that he was attacking Israel, but he was attacking South.
Nobody can be blamed more than the other one, and therefore the problem.
Right, could be, yeah. Okay, I think.
Where the highest killing them all, they could have been so though you know where they were.
The highest man has more information, he has an asymmetric advantage here, he knows more about what matters.
All right.